What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
Is the resurrection real? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK, which is a media project of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. My name is George Samietz, and I'm a pastor serving in Suffolk at Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon on the Suffolk-Norfolk border. Today's question can be asked in all sorts of ways, in wonder, in scorn, genuinely actually wanting to discover an answer. As an attack, because the speaker believes he or she already knows the answer and it isn't what the church says, and so on. As with so many questions, there are the words of the question and the context of the question. Straight answers work best when you know both, the question and its context. Today I'm going to answer the question at face value, as a Christian. In other words, I draw on the Bible as my foundation. This is an important context because the Bible is an accurate transmission of what the writers of the New Testament wrote in the first century, some 30 or 40 years after the event. As I've answered in a previous straight answer, how can I trust the Bible? The historical and textual evidence shows us clearly not that the manuscripts have changed over the centuries, but the opposite, that we have in our Bibles printed today what was written back then. The world mightn't like the message and want to refute and deny it, but the claim that we can't go back 2,000 years and know what was originally written is simply wrong. We do know what was written back then, and in terms of the resurrection, we discover that the resurrection is central, a key, or as I like to describe it, the plug in the sink. Take the plug away, pull it out, and everything goes down the drain. Similarly with the resurrection. Get rid of it somehow, disprove it, morph it, or change it into some sort of spiritual thing and not a physical resurrection, and the rest of Christianity simply goes down the drain. Is the resurrection real? Most certainly. Okay, that's a faith statement. That's what Christians have been saying since Jesus was first spotted alive again after his crucifixion. I'm in a long line of Christians who witnessed to the same event. Even though I will tell you up front now that I haven't seen Jesus with my eyes, as did those first eyewitnesses. Nevertheless, I testify to the reality and truth of Jesus' resurrection. My personal experiences of Jesus are not relevant for you, not helpful really for you, but confirm for me the truth of God's Word, but they don't determine God's Word, which is the foundation and basis of the Christian faith, of my faith. And in all these words, the world cannot prove me or Christianity wrong about Jesus. Sure, the world can argue and claim I'm wrong, that the resurrection isn't real or true, but it cannot prove it at all. So here are four aspects that will help you understand or reaffirm or confirm the reality of the resurrection. Number one. Christianity recognized from the very beginning the centrality of the resurrection. It is the confirmation from God. Strictly, God raised Jesus from the dead rather than Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus' sacrifice was perfect, that the salvation Jesus won for us is real, and that death itself has lost its sting to separate people from God and from each other because of Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his first letter, in chapter 15, worth a read, of course, but I'll just take up verses 12 to 22. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. then those who are also fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. I'm not unaware, nor was the Apostle Paul, nor is any Christian who has had a discussion about the resurrection with the apparent preposterousness of the claim. Our marvellous modern medical technology can produce resuscitations, but not resurrections. The sad truth that grieving people face so painfully is that the dead don't come back. Until Jesus. The message from the very beginning when the disciples went out into the world was that Jesus is alive, that God has rescued people from their sins because of Jesus, that forgiveness and new life are possible and available because Jesus is alive to give them to us. The resurrection is central to the Christian understanding of God, of Jesus, of forgiveness, of faith, of daily living. Destroy the resurrection, disprove it somehow, pull the plug, and it all goes down the drain, and Christianity is delusional, and Christians are wasting their time and lives because they are not learning about or following whoever or whatever is the true God. However, the resurrection shouts to the world that Jesus is the true God, and meeting Jesus reveals the Father, and together they send the Holy Spirit. So what occurs because of the resurrection is faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number 2. There is an empty grave to deal with. The simplest refutation of the resurrection would be the authorities producing the corpse of Jesus. They do that, and simple, the message, the truth, and the reality of Christianity goes down the drain. But this is the one thing that can't be done. Why? Christians claim that the resurrection is real. Christ is risen, they shout each Easter, to which they also reply, He is risen indeed. Of course, this message isn't confined to one week, but is part of each Sunday's worship and each day's devotions and each Christian's life. The grave is empty because Jesus didn't need it anymore, nor his grave clothes, which were left folded in the tomb. The authorities feared something like this would happen, and they even set a guard at the tomb, but Jesus rose from the dead, which makes sense that if he can break death's clutches, a guard isn't going to hold him. The biblical witnesses are clear. Their message is clear. Jesus is alive again, to which the world harumphs and contends with such claims as, the women went to the wrong tomb, and then so did Peter and John afterwards. The disciples somehow stole the body. Jesus was only in a coma and revived in the tomb and snuck out past that rolled stone and the guards. The authorities themselves removed the body to prevent any further claims about Jesus. Each of these theories either attempts to explain away the empty tomb as a mistake, a wrong postcode, or with rationales that hold no water, don't make sense, and defy all the surrounding evidence of the account of what went on. So the women and John did know where the tomb was. So Jesus was actually dead. The Romans efficiently did their job as crucifixion and spearing are supposed to do. So the disciples are in no frame of mind at Jesus' death to mount an operation to get the body behind the guards and spend time unwrapping him. Such theories are just attempts to not deal with the obvious, that the resurrection is the best explanation of all the evidence put together. It's just the wrong explanation according to the world. Number 3. There are many eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection. I think people assume that only the 11 disciples, the 12 minus Judas, saw Jesus alive again. The Bible, however, makes it clear that there were numerous sightings of Jesus indoors, outdoors, by individuals, by small groups, by large groups, and then they stopped. If they were hallucinations, there'd be no reason for stopping. But an ascension into heaven and the promise of the Holy Spirit means that Christians don't have to see Jesus anymore, because he is with them to the ends of the world and the end of the age. Over 500 people saw Jesus after his death and burial, and they were able for the rest of their lives to confirm to the skeptics and the inquirers that this message is true. These eyewitnesses provide important corroboration to the message of the resurrection during the first century. They are the living words that counter the arguments made earlier. If someone back then was to claim that Jesus was still dead for whatever reason, these eyewitnesses would be able to challenge the claim, and I suppose their trump was to then claim that they had seen Jesus alive. And those listening will then have to decide between the two claims. It's pretty much the same today, except no one can claim to be an eyewitness to Jesus' non-resurrection, just as Christians today can't say that they personally are eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Unless, of course, they actually are. But even then, those listening will still have to decide between the two claims. The eyewitness testimony doesn't prove beyond doubt, but certainly must be considered, and we would normally regard such evidence as compelling. If I wrote a biography of Her Majesty, concentrating on, say, the first 20 years of her reign, so that's 40 to 60 years ago, and I made stacks of assertions and allegations and presented a raft of theories, you would hope I'd done my research. I wasn't alive when Her Majesty acceded the throne. However, if 100 people older than me, all claiming to be eyewitnesses of the events I wrote about, claimed in the papers and the magazines and on the internet and on TV that I was wrong, who are you going to believe? My guess is you're not going to buy my book, because you'll sense the credibility in the eyewitnesses. By the way, it is actually very hard to maintain a lie or fabrication. The truth has a way of coming through. And the world has been trying for 2,000 years to say that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that there is no resurrection, and Christians, well, they just say the truth. And more people meet Jesus, come to faith, and discover the truth that Jesus is alive, and he is Lord, and he loves us. My fourth and last aspect regarding the reality of the resurrection is the change in the disciples themselves. Something changed them from fearful and scurrying people behind locked doors to fearless, out in the open, before anyone, maybe even with an in-your-face quality at times. The world will say that it was a fabrication. They made it up. Whether benignly delusional or cold and calculating, still undecided. But it became more successful than they dared hoped. Church tradition lists 10 of the original 12 dying martyrs' deaths precisely because they confessed that Jesus died and rose again. The world wouldn't have known about Jesus except for these changed men. What changed them? For me, the answer is obvious. Seeing Jesus in a locked room, alive, yet still carrying his scars, not in suffering and pain, but patiently dealing with their fears and doubts and joys, and communicating to them their tasks, their joy, and empowering them for it. The resurrection reality best explains the joy and fervor of these changed men, and of all Christians who stubbornly won't budge from this truth. Jesus' grave is empty. Jesus is alive. The resurrection is real. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.